All right, we're going to start here on the top of Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah discusses or contrasts Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Ma ben Pesach Rishon le Sheni. Harishon asur bebal yira'e u bal yimatzei. In Pesach Rishon, obviously there's a restriction against having chametz with you at the time of the Korban HaPesach as well as at nighttime. Sheni chametz u matzah imo b'bayit. By Pesach Sheni, chametz u matzah imo b'bayit is together with him in the house. Now, how far that goes is a good question, because Rashi on Chumash mentions that you can eat matzah along with the Karmen of Pesach. You cannot have chametz together with the Karmen of Pesach, but right afterwards you can have a chametz, or you can partake of chametz. The Gemara never discusses this. It's never mentioned. And what exactly the source is for Rashi, it seems that his source is probably that there is an assay of matzot morim yochlu, that you have to eat it together with matzah. And since matzah and chametz are contrasting opposites, mutually exclusive, therefore you would not have chametz at the same time you have matzah. But there are others who believe that there was no such restriction, you could possibly have chametz at the table at the same time that you had your Pesach Sheni. You could have your Pesach Sheni, because the Torah only requires that you eat it together with matzah, does not preclude the eating of chametz. Right now, Berishon, Harishon Ton Halel Ba'achilato. First one requires halal to be said while you eat it. That's why we have halal in the Seder. And on the other hand, Pesach Sheni does not require halal while you're eating it. On the other hand, they both require it when you're bringing the Korban, it still requires halal. Nechalin Sli, both have the requirement that they are roasted. And they also override Shabbat, and they have to be eaten together with Matzah Umaror. Tan Rabbanan, Kechol Chukata Pesach Yasu Oto. This is the pasuk that really connects the two together, which says that in Pesach Sheni, it says, Kochol Chukata Pesach. All the laws of Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. B'mitzvah shebukuko akatuv midaber. It's talking about a mitzvah that deals with the Korban itself, something that is about the Korban itself. Mitzvah she'al gufo minayin. How do you know mitzvot that are associated with the Korban of Pesach, meaning together with the Korban of Pesach? Talmud Omer amatzot umorim yochlu. You would think that mitzvot that do not connected to the Korban Pesach directly, but happen simultaneously. You may not break any bones in it. Ma shvirat etzem yuchad mitzvah shebigufo. Just like shvirat etzem is something, the unique properties of shvirat etzem are that it connects to the Korban Pesach directly. Avko mitzvot shebigufo. So too, only mitzvot shebigufo apply to the Korban Pesach. Isi ben Yehuda omer, yasu oto. Mitzvot shebigufo akatu midaber. And when it says yesu oto, that means it and only it, meaning relating to the Korban Pesach itself, and therefore he doesn't need the other limudim that the Chachamim use. Mar now is going to break this breita down and understand the different component parts of the breita. Amar mar. Yochol af mitzvot shelo al gufo. The breita does something interesting. It brings a pasuk and says, oh, that's mitzvot shebigufo. Then it brings another pasuk and says, that's mitzvot shel al gufo. Then it says, oh, I would think maybe mitzvot that have nothing to do with it should also be included. Why would you ever have that consideration? You just brought two psukim that show that only things directly related to the Korban have relevance over here. And then all of a sudden you make this quantum leap that, okay, maybe we'll include things that are not directly related to the Korban of Pesach. So that's what the Gemara is asking over here. Yechol af mitzvah shelo al gufo hamart. You already said in the Braita, but mitzvah shebu gufo akatuv midaber. It's only talking about the mitzvot be gufo. Hachi kamar. Once you have the word what that teaches you, alma yasu oto lav davkahu. The first pasuk says, kachol chukata pesach yasu oto. The way that Isi ben Yehuda reads it, and the way the Chachamim are also quasi reading it, is that means that anything mitzvot shebigufo that directly relates to the Korban of Pesach, you must do. Then all of a sudden you say, okay, if that was the rule, it would only be mitzvot shebigufo. Then you have another pasuk that says, well, not exactly. That was that pasuk, amotzot umrim yochlu. So there are other mitzvot that are included. Once you've now said that the chol chukata pesach is not literally yasu oto, it's not literally mitzvot shebigufo, now I've opened up Pandora's box, maybe I can include other things too. Maybe things she lo al gufo or she lo bigufo. Things like that I could include as well. And that's what the process of the breita is doing. So ama yasu oto lav davku. Ema havalei kiprat uchlal. When I say klal mosif ala prat, vaf kol milei nami. So that's, what about, if you do that already, now you have what we call a prat uchlal. A prat, which is a specific mention of something, Then I have a klal as a general mention of something. And if I have a prat uchlal, the principles that we have by a prat uchlal are that rabot kol mile. A prat uchlal says that the prat was not really so important. The klal is what governs. The prat drops away. And you include everything. The klal includes everything. Then what's the prat for? So Rashi, in other places in Shah, says, well, the prat's there so you know not to be done a gzera shavor, a kal v'chomer, to exclude this item. But that's it. That's the only reason the prat is written there, because the prat has no meaning in the face of the klal. The klal governs. So I would say here also, I have a prat uchlal. Since I have a prat uchlal, everything goes. So then along comes the pasuk, says, kamash balon, that that's not the case, because we have be'etzem lo yishberu bo. Now how does that solve the problem? Etzem lo yishberu bo, we'll see in a second, as Rashi notes, that now we have multiple pratim. This is an interesting idea. He says that the psukim there mention a number of items that are pratim. Amatzu, tamrim, yachlu, etzem, lo tishbru, bo. And we have one other item that's mentioned there. Those three things, when you put them together, those are three pratim. And then I have a kalal. So now, I should have darshan as a prat uchlal, and I should have included everything. Instead, because, as Rashi notes, there's so many pratim beforehand, I have to give an explanation why these are all mentioned. So Rashi says these three pratim are mentioned to come to narrow the scope of the kalal afterwards, despite the fact that it's a prat uchlal. So it's a modified prat uchlal, which is that the klal will include everything, but only things that are somewhat domeh to the pratim, which is that we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to say that each one of the pratim comes and excludes one item. In terms of the klal, they'd also say it includes one item, but that's not really necessary because the klal includes everything. These pratim, each one of them will specifically knock out one item that you might have thought that is similar to them that would have been in, and they knock out that item. So it'll work like a modified prat uchlal. Instead of the pratim being meaningless, in a normal prat uchlal here, each prat will take on a significance in excluding one item. So that's the way, that's the modified way that we're reading this prat uchlal. Isi ben Yehuda, hai etzem, mai avidle. Isi ben Yehuda says that we learn everything out of the pasuk, ucho chugata pesach esu oto, that's sufficient to teach you mitzvot shebegufo. What does he do with the etzem lo tishbru bo? What does he do with that pasuk? Mibayle, lachad etzem sheyesh bo moach, lachad etzem sheyem bo moach. So this is something we saw earlier already, back on Pehei, which is that there are two atzamot. There the Gemara discussed. Is it only true that etzem lo tishbru bo applies to bones that do not have marrow in them? But a bone that did have marrow in it, you could break open and go into it to get the meat, because you have a requirement, you have to eat it, so the answer is no. How do we know that? Because it has another etzem. We have etzem lo yishberu bo and etzem lo tishberu bo, one by Pesach Rishon, one by Pesach Sheni. So the two of them together teach us both atzamot are precluded from being broken. That means better both an etzem with moach and an etzem without moach. Because you already have a pasuk that tells you that, which is Kochol Chukata Pesach. You have a general pasuk that already joins the two of them. So anything that's written now, you have to explain why. It's unnecessary, and I'm going to have to do something with it. Because you have an overarching pasuk that says everything you do in Pesach Sheni is like Pesach Rishon. So the fact that it specified other details, I have to do something with those details. No, that's what the Gemara said. Yeah, so Oto is referring directly to the Korban Pesach. Oto is about the Pesach itself. So everything that was true about Pesach Rishon, it's true of Pesach Sheni, not Pesach as a whole, but Korban of Pesach Rishon is true of Pesach Korban Pesach Sheni. Rabbana and Hai Yasu Oto Mai Avdile. What do they do with this Yasu Oto? Because they learn out from the fact that it says Kochol Chukata Pesach plus the Miutim that they have from the Pratim. That's how they learn it. So what's the Yasu Oto for? Vayle Shein Shochatim Et Pesach Al Yachid, that you don't bring a Korban Pesach with one person. The Kama De Efshar La Durei Mehadrinan. As hard as possible, we try to make it so there's not one person. Tosafot and Rashi both say interesting things here. First of all, Tosafot says, wait a minute, don't we already know that from Pesach Rishon? By Pesach Rishon, we had already had the limud of Rabbi Yehuda, lo tuchol echol be'echad she'arecha, and there we said, lo tuchol echol be'echad, that you're not allowed to eat it alone. So you already have a drusha by the Rishon, if that's true, then kochol chukata Pesach would bring that over to Pesach Sheni. If it's a din that's either big gufo or al gufo, that should apply to Pesach Sheni. Why do I need a separate limud? So one interesting answer I saw was that the din of only having one person on the Karmen of Pesach is not found in Parshat Shmot, but only found in Sefer Dvarim. So Kochol Kulata Pesach might only relate to all the dinim that are found in Sefer Shmot, because this is in Balotcha relating to Shmot. That which is found in Sefer Dvarim, it may not apply to. That's one possibility. Tosafot over here says maybe it's according to the one who doesn't darshan it by Pesach Rishon. And it's darshan by Pesach Sheni. But then he says, then you come into, again, this absurdity where Pesach Sheni can't have a single person, but Pesach Rishon can have a single person. It says, no. If you already know by Pesach Sheni it's one person, then you would extrapolate that to Pesach Rishon, because certainly if Pesach Sheni requires that you have multiple people on it, certainly Pesach Rishon would require you have multiple people on it. Rashi says something even more amazing. Rashi says, well, if we figure out that this guy is going to be alone for Pesach Sheni, we are mitame somebody in Pesach Rishon. We make him tame too much sheretz in order that he has a partner for Pesach Sheni. Now, truthfully, if you had read this bepashtut, you would just say he should look for someone else to get together. Somebody else who missed Pesach Rishon, he gets it. Right. We try as hard as we can. If we can't, we can't. But Rashi seems to indicate that if he is alone, we're going to be mitame somebody to have him join together. It's amazing, Rashi. The Gemara never does address. There is another pasuk. We said here, etzem lo tishbru bo, which he does address. Rashi also says that, lo yeshiru mimenu ad boker, what did Issi ben Yehuda do with that? He says, tmiyali, Rashi leaves it as a tmiyah as to why the Gemara never asks for Issi ben Yehuda, what's that other prat doing there? Because according to him, he doesn't need any of these pratim, because it's all subsumed under this pasuk of, kochol kuhata pesach, yesu oto. Alright, Tanu Banan. Gemara is going to have it's a bright, that moves slowly. It kind of moves piece by piece, and then it expands on itself, the bright, which is Tanu Rabbanan, kochol kuhata pesach, yesu oto. Yochuk shem sharishon asur ba'ire ba'yimetze, kach sheni asur ba'ir ba'metze, tamalomar amatzot umarim yochlu. In the elam atzavet asay. I only see now that there are mitzvot asay that are combined between them, meaning that the pasuk here it says by Pesach Sheni, amatzot umarim yochlu, which will tell me that mitzvot asay get moved from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. Mitzvot lo tasay minayin. How do I know that? Negative commandments also that apply to Pesach Rishon apply to Pesach Sheni. Tamalomar. Lo yashiru mimenu ad boker. You may not leave over from the Karman of Pesach until the morning. That's only a lota say that is nitakli asay, because what's the din of lo yashiru mimenu? Vanatar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisareif. That which is left over gets burnt. So that's a lav hanitakli asay. It has an asay that rectifies the lav that is violated over here. So therefore, when I say lo yishur mimivoker, I now know that mitzvot that are nitak the assay from Pesach Rishon will move over to Pesach Sheni. Mitzvot lo tasei gamur. What about just a plain vanilla lo tasei? How do I know that comes? V'nayin tamalomer v'etzem lo yishberu boat. Do not break a bone. That's just a lav that has no rectification. Ma prat amifurash. So now I have three pratim that are mentioned by Pesach Sheni explicitly, which is we have almatzot umurim yochula, etzem lo tishberu bo, and etzem lo yishberu bo here, and we have lo yeshuv mimenu ad boker. Between those three, I have now mitzvah asay, v'lo tasei shenitak lasei, v'lo tasei gamur. All of these items, af kol mitzvot asay, any positive command relating to the Pesach will be carried over, v'lo tasei shenitak lasei, any lo tasei that's nitak lasei will be carried over, v'lo tasei gamur, any lo tasei gamur will be carried over from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. Now the writer continues, is basically going to ask that I have now a klal. We have prat, and klal. So now, as I said before, when you have a prat to klal, the klal includes everything. Tamar is still going to say, okay, I have a klal. What does that include that's similar to each of these items? And again, Tosafot points out you don't need that because it would have been included by the klal anyway. The only question is the prat side of it. What does each one of these exclude? Rashi claims that in each one of these items, when you look at each of these pratim, the Gemara is going to include an item that is similar to it and exclude an item that's similar to it. So for instance, Amatzot Umarim Yochlu is an asay. The Gemara is going to include another asay and preclude an asay. That's what it's going to do in the Braita now. So Gemara says, Bichlalei de Matzot Umarim Mai Kamarabe. Because of the reboy of Matzot Umarim and asay, Mai Kamarabe, what do we include? Tzliyesh. That includes Tzliyesh, that you have to roast it. I mean, that's a positive commandment that has to do with the Korban Pesach. Brifratei Mai Kamarabe. What do we exclude from that? Hashpatla Tzor, which is an assay that's associated with Karban Pesach Rishon, which is, must eliminate all chametz in your possession. That assay will not carry over. That's a prat that is knocked out. Now, for numerous reasons, it's knocked out. Which is, the Gemara says, Ipochana. How do you know which one to include, which one to exclude? The Gemara says, Mitzvah Dugufei Adif. It's pretty simple, which is what we said before, that the premise or the common denominator between the pratim is that it has to do with mitzvah begufei. It directly relates to the Korban HaPesach. So I'm going to rather include something that's directly related to Korban HaPesach, Tzliyesh, and exclude it Shabbat Hashpat HaTzor, which is exogenous. It's not a part of the Korban HaPesach. It might be correlated or related, but it's not directly connected to the Korban HaPesach. And that's why I exclude that factor. Bichlalei, the lo yishur mimenu ad boker. Lo yishur mimenu ad boker is, do not leave it over until the morning. If you do leave it on until the morning, you're going to burn it. So that's a lav nitak lasei. So Rashi claims the next two things are a lav nitak lasei as well. Tosafot takes a little issue with that. My kamarabile. What do we include? Lo totsi mimenu. That you may not take it out of the house in which you eat it. Rashi claims here that it says that you must take it into or back into the house. That you must eat it in one house. Rashi says that that's always kum v'achol. That you have to always take it back into the house in order to eat it. So since there's a continuous mitzvah to return it to the house, therefore if you take it out, you can rectify it by taking it back in. He says this argues on what we saw in the Gemara before. It says once you take it out, it becomes a sore, and if you eat it, you're chayav for eating it. You violate the lota say. So he says this is against that opinion before. And over here, this opinion believes that this is a lavani takta say. If you take it out of the house, you bring it back in, and you can eat it inside the house, and you can continue to eat it. So that's why he claims it's a lavani takta say. So that din will apply to Karban Pesach Sheni, that you must eat it in a single location. Now, beprate, Micah might lay, what do you exclude from the prat? You exclude a mitzvah lo tasei. So now, obviously Rashi says, what does that mean? It means from here that lo yireh v'lo yimatzei, this is the source for this fact that Rashi says it here inside of hey, it's a lav, ha, nitak li asei. Bal yireh o bal yimatzei is not violated because it's a lav, ha, nitak li asei that can be rectified by hashpat atzor, by eliminating the chametz. If you eliminate the chametz, you're no longer in violation of bal yireh bal yimatzei. How long that essay lasts, machloket, we saw earlier in the Masechta with Rashi and Tosafot. Tosafot says that as long as you get rid of it before the end of Pesach, then you are not in violation of Bayreya, Bayim Etzei of the Karet. And you just have to do the Ashbata. If you then leave it over to the end of Pesach, and then you no longer have the mitzvah of Ashbata, then you're in violation, you get the Karet. Rashi says that you have a moment after you find it to eliminate it. If you hesitate and don't eliminate it then you're chayav for Bayreya or Bayim Etzei, and that's why you have to do Bittul. That's why even if you do bdika, you still need to do bito, is to provide that window so that even if you find it later, if you hesitate, you're not going to be chayav for bayir bayim matzei. What's interesting, and I mentioned this back when we did this earlier in the Masechta, is that the Rambam thinks you can get malkot for violating bayir or bayim matzei. How could you get malkot? We know lavani taklasei is not subject to malkot. Yet the Rambam paskins you get malkot, and this Gemara here is very difficult for the Rambam. Now the Rambam says only if you're kum, if you do a bikum v'asei. Right, obviously, if you violate Bayre by Matzei by simply having chametz in your possession, you're not going to get Malkot because you're not active. That's a passive violation of Bayre by Matzei. He says, if you go out to the store and buy chametz during Pesach and bring it into your possession, then you will get a Malkot because you did an active form of the mitzvah. So over there we discussed that Reb Chaim talks about maybe different manifestations of the violation of chametz according to the Rambam. And that some of them might result in a lavani takta asei, which is you passively violate it. Because if you actively violate it, that might just be a lav that has no rectification because you brought it into your possession actively. And then, what do you mean, hashbata? Hashbata, you had the opportunity, but you brought it into your possession. So there you might get malkot. That might be the bifurcation of the din that the Rambam is looking at. But wait, I'm just mentioning it in passing here because it's the other side of that din when we discussed it earlier. Now, I'm going to do one more line and then I want to address David's question that we said. So the Gemara says, ipokano. Again, flip it around. How do you know which one should go where? Mitzvah de gufei odif. Again, we give preference to the one that relates directly to the Korban HaPesach, which is where you eat it, versus something that is an exogenous variable like Balireh or Balimatzeh. Bichlalei de'etzim lo yishberu bo. What about the fact that you're not allowed to break a bone from that? What do we include? Maika merabe al tochlu mimenu na. That we include the fact that you may not eat it raw. I mean that all the other sides of the puzzle, which is tliyesh, you have to eat it roasted, there's also restriction, again, bashel, b'mushal, b'mayim, al tuchu menana. All of those restrictions are brought in by this klal. B'prate makam ma'it, what do you exclude from it? Lo tishachet al-chametz dam zivchi. That you may not, when you bring the korban of Pesach, have chametz in your possession. That's true for Pesach Rishon, it will not be true for Pesach Sheni. Gemara again asks, ipuchana, flip it, mitzvah de gufei, adif. Because if mitzvah dealing with the Korban Pesach directly, such as al tuchum menu na, how you cook the Korban Pesach is much more relevant than something like lo tishachet al chametz dam zivchi, again, which is exogenous to the Korban Pesach. It's a din that's correlated, but not directly related. So David asked before, which is very interesting here, the Gemara now breaks into three pieces, hashbat atzor, valyurei abalyumatzei, and lo tishachet al chametz dam zivchi. So this shows you that these are all independent halachot, which might be the reason for, you could see over here, lo tishachet the chametz dam zivchi midoraita, there might be a chiyuv of, or an isur chametz on Erev HaPesach that derives from lo tishachet the chametz dam zivchi. And that you may not have chametz then, and that's separate from bayireh bayimatzeh, and separate from the din of hashbata. I mean, not only do you have a requirement of hashbata on Erev Pesach, You might have a lotase of violating lotus shachaita chametz. The dam zivchi, which has honor of a Pesach, is a din d'oraita to rid yourself of chametz, and not just a derivative of a Shabbat tzor. It's an independent din. What also looks interesting is the fact that the Gemara is separated between a Shabbat tzor and Bayre Bay Matzei, which David asked before. The Gemara seems to indicate that you could violate one without the other, that they're not necessarily correlated. Tosafot and Rashi argued about this early in the Masechta, where there's simply a Shabbat Tzor is a way to rectify the violation of Bayre or Bayi Matzei, or is a Shabbat Tzor a way to prevent the violation of Bayre or Bayi Matzei? Now over here, the Gemara separates between the two dinim and says they're not necessarily correlated. I can have a din of a Shabbat Tzor independent of the Isra of Bayre or Bayi Matzei. That means that I possibly could have violated Bayre or Bayi Matzei even though there was no requirement of a Shabbat. Or the other way around, I could be a requirement of Shabbat, even though I may not have an Isur of Bayre Matzei. Which is interesting that the Gemara is splitting them apart, despite the fact that the Gemara seems to indicate it's a Lavani Taktasei, which reconnects them together. So despite the fact that it views it as a Lavani Taktasei, despite that fact, the Gemara separates them down into three different categories, all these Isurim of Chametz, which is interesting, which it sees them in silos, not always correlated, and don't have to be necessarily correlated.
How those Chametz Damon, it's also the same.
Oh, because Bayre Matzei only applies. Bayre Matzei only applies on Pesach itself versus at Shechita to Pesach. I mean, Shechita Pesach happens on the 14th of Iyar. You shech the Pesach.
Right.
So you think Bayre Matzei will only apply at the night of 15th when you're eating the Korban of Pesach? Lo Tishchita Mitzvah would apply on Erev Pesach at the time that you're shechit the Korban of Pesach. Arishon Taon Halel Ba'Achilato. The first one requires Halel Ba'Achilato Menahane Mile. How do we know that you have to say Halel when you eat your Korban of Pesach? The night of the Seder when we say Halel. How can we say hello at the Seder? Where does that come from? Rabbi Yochanan Mishim, Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak, Makra, the Pasuk says, Hashir yeh lachem kelel hitkadesh chag. That this shir, latid lavo, when you are redeemed, and you have the geulah, you will sing a song similar, kelel hitkadesh chag, the similar the way that you sing on the night of the chag. Where do you sing on the night of the chag? Laila, hamagudash lachag, taun halal. There's one night, which is mekudash to a chag, that has Hallel associated with it. That's the night of Pesach. Because you have the Korban of Pesach that you're eating that has Hallel associated with it. But the Gemara here says, only Laila Shemekudash Lechag. It has to be a Yom Tov in order to have the Hallel. Laila Shein Mekudash Lechag ain't Taun Hallel. But a light that is not Mekudash Lechag, meaning Pesach Sheni, where there's no Isser Malacha, there's no Yom Tov associated with the night of Pesach Sheni, over there there'd be no requirement of Hallel. It's also the source for the minog for many people who say halal in shul on the night of Pesach comes from this pasuk as well, which was halal hitkadesh chag. This idea that there's a halal associated with the night of Pesach. Question of whether it's associated with the korban of Pesach, which here the Gemara clearly correlates between them, but the minog to say it in shul as well. Because in shul we say it together. In the Haggadah, we split up the halal in the Haggadah. Zev zev tunim halal basiyatan. They require halal in their doing them when you bring the korban of Pesach. Now they do not require, Tosafot mentions this on the Mishnah, they do not require that it be brought with three kitot. You don't have to have three different groups bringing the Pesach Sheni. You only have to have one group bringing it, unlike Pesach Rishon. So my time would you require Hallel? Ibaitema laila kamemait, yom lo kamemait. Meaning that when it says over here, leil hitkadesh chag, it says the night, only when it's hitkadesh chag is there Hallel associated with it. During the day, there's no requirement like that. So even though there's no chag, there still is what? A requirement of Hallel. Which suggests that Erev Pesach is a Chag, which is true of the fact that you have Chag HaPesach, which is on the 14th of Nisan, and you have Chag HaMatzot, which starts at the 15th of Nisan. So there actually is a Chag of Pesach on the 14th, and then they overlap on the night, the first night of the Seder. That's where they overlap. Possibly. The Chag HaBasar is associated with the Korban Pesach to eat all Asova, but it might also relate to what we're just saying now, that Chag HaPesach also has a tzad of Chag to it. So since it's a Chag and Chag HaPesach and Pesach Sheni, it has the same status of Chag. It doesn't have Isur Malacha, but it's the Chag HaPesach in Pesach Sheni. Therefore, it will have a din in Hallel, because the exclusion or preclusion here is only at nighttime, not during the daytime. How could it be that you're doing a mitzvah and you're not singing about doing the mitzvah you have to do? Includes Hallel from the night of Revelel Yitzkadesh Chag. Yeah, I assume they have to say that it's excluded from that already. You already precluded it from being there v'achila. But here, yeah, how could it be possible that you're performing a mitzvah and not singing Hallel? Obviously, that's not true. We don't sing Hallel for every mitzvah, but these are particular mitzvah that it picks. It picks lulav And these are mitzvot that are particular to the holidays, that are associated with the holidays, associated with the tefillah, or the major theme of the holiday. When you're doing a mitzvah that's associated with the major theme of the holiday, you should be singing Hallel along with that. It's also mitzvot that are associated with the Mikdash, as well as the fact that we have here Pesach, Korban HaPesach, which generally a person who brings a Korban has a din of a Chag, and therefore there might be a Hallel associated with it. Alright, next part of the Mishnah, Nechlim Tzli. So then the Mishnah concluded with, it's Docheta Shabbat. Shabbat in Tumalo. Right, so it's Docha Shabbat, but not Tuma Pesach Sheni. Matinitan Tzkolo Kerab Yehuda. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Tanya, Docheta Shabbat, Veno Docheta Tuma. Pesach can be Docheta Shabbat, but not Tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Mer, Av Docheta Tuma. My time of the Tanakama, why does the Tanakama split the din between Shabbat and Tuma? The whole reason we're here in the first place is because he was Tameh on the Rishon. So that's why we wanted to push him up to Sheni, so he doesn't do a Bituma. Oh, now I'm going to go ahead and do a Bituma now? It defeats the whole purpose of pushing him away from Pesach Rishon, not to do a Bituma. Torah makes an effort to try to get a Bituma. If it fails, then you do a Bituma. I mean, it gives you a second chance of doing a Bituma, but if it fails on the second chance, then you do a Bituma.
Is that only if the whole kahal, or are you saying even...
No, yeah, it would have to be rova kahal, would have to be done here, you'd have to have the same thing, the same rules, that the rova, the people doing Pesach Sheni, would have to be Tuma. That's the bringers of Pesach Sheni, that's the kahal that's relevant. You don't say all of Klal Yisrael, that shouldn't be relevant here. Tarah Banan, Pesach Rishon Duchet Shabbat, Pesach Sheni Duchet Shabbat. So, Pesach Rishon Duchet Tuma, Pesach Sheni Duchet Tuma. So that's similar to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Pesach Rishon Ton Lina, Pesach Sheni Ton Lina. Pesach Rishon requires that you stay overnight in the Yerushalayim, in the confines of Yerushalayim. Pesach Sheni also requires you stay there. Dochet Tuma Keman. Dochet Tuma, who's the author of that position? Ke Rabbi Yehuda. We just saw that before. Ul Rabbi Yehuda Taun Lina. Since when does Rabbi Yehuda require that you stay overnight in Yerushalayim? Va'atan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Minan the Pesach Sheni, She'ain Taun Lina. How do I know that Pesach Sheni does not require Lina? Shenemar. Ufanita Baboker Valachta Lo Alecha. That's found in Sefer Dvarim, which is Panita Baboker Valachta Lo Alecha. Uchtiv sheish yamim tochal matzot. For 6 days you must eat matzot. Anechal l'shishat unlina. So the correlation, the juxtaposition, the pasuk teaches you that only time there's a requirement of lina is when you also have a mitzvah to eat matzah for the 6 days, or at least the Gemara later on, a kuf will say that it's a reshut, eat matzah for the 6 days. But when you're eating matzah for 7 days, or 6 days after the first day, then you get to, you're required to do lina. Over here, where there is no such requirement, then there is no lina involved with it. She'ein echal l'shisha, ain't ta'un lina. So now we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Gemar says, straight tana'e, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. They have two tana'im with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. One thinks he does require lina. One thinks that he does not require lina. Over here, Tosafot discusses an issue of lina. It relates a lot to a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, which has to do with Pazer Kashev. What's unique about Shemini Atzeret? So, over there, there's a discussion also about lina. Here, Tosafot discusses this requirement of lina. Does it only apply on the first day, and possibly in Shemini Atzeret, or does it apply to all days of Yom Tov? All days of Yom Tov require that you stay overnight and have lina. Gemara truthfully says that anytime you bring a korban, you require lina. And since there's a requirement of simcha every day, you bring shalmei simcha every day, then you would have to stay overnight any day anyway because of that. So Tosafot says, well, Shami Simcha can be eaten for 2 days and one night. So you can bring a korban one day, and then you can use that korban for 2 days, or you can eat someone else's Shami Simcha. You can join in with them. So you don't necessarily have to bring a korban. And therefore, Tosafot concludes that lina only applies to the first day of Yom Tov and to Shemini Atzeret, and not, there's no requirement of lina on all the other days of Yom Tov. The intervening days, there isn't a requirement of lina for the other days of the holiday. And also, Tosafot asks over here, when we say Pesach Sheni ain't tun lina, Tema, Larashba, my itzricha lo marbina michlal kuchata pesach mitzvah shenu shel gufo. Why does the Gemara need to come here and specifically say an exclusion for lina if the fact is that kucho kuchata pesach only includes things that are mitzvot shebe gufo? It's not a mitzvah be gufo. So then why should they even have a mina that you're including it? Here again comes up this issue that this is found in Sefer Dvarim, not found in Sefer Shmot. So the fact that it's found in Sefer Dvarim might have a different din because it may not be subsumed under this kucho kuchata pesach, which seems to be referencing back to Sefer Shmot and not including that which is mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, possibly. Right, next Mishnah, Pesach Shabbat Betuma, Lo Yochlu Mimenu, Zavim, Vizavot, Nidot, Vildot. The other people are Tmeim may not participate in Korban Pesach. They not bring it, but they also may not eat from it. But if they do, Vimachlu, if they did eat from it, Peturim Mikaret. They're not chayav karet. Generally, a person who has tumat aguf and eats from kodashim is chayav karet. So this is korban pesach is kodashim. If someone was to maybe tumat aguf, they ate it, they would be chayav karet. Over here, that's not the case. We'll now discuss why. Rabbi Lezer puter afu b'biyat mikdash. Here it deals with the atam mikdash also, which is that you're not allowed to enter the mikdash b'tumat aguf. There are two things you can't do b'tumat aguf. You can't enter the mikdash, you can't consume kodashim. Both of those have a chayav karet associated with them. They're being violated. They're being violated because the people who are tamei mate are eating the korban pesach, and they're also entering into the mikdash. The other people don't have that dispensation because they're not waived. Only tumat nefesh, tumat mate, has that dispensation. So these other individuals, these avim zavot nidot v'yodot, you would think they'd be chayav. The Mishnah here tells you for both of those violations, they're not chayav karet, despite the fact that they're not allowed to do it. So you might also say why? Tarim banan. Zavim zavot nidot v'yodot shachlu pesach shabbat b'tumah yochul yeh chayavim tamal omar kol tohor yochal basar. Anybody who's Torah must eat the kodashim. The chiyuv karet is associated with tumat aguf and eating the korban pesach. But that pasuk juxtaposed to it in the pasuk is kol tohor yochol basar. That there's a mitzvah that says that a tohor eats the basar. So what the Gemara says is nechal torim chayvin alav mishum tamei. The correlation between the doom tells that when their torim eat the korban pesach, then if you have tumat aguf and you eat it, you're chayav karet. She'enu nechal torim. Over here, this korban pesach is not being eaten by torim. It's being eaten by people who are tamei tumata meit. So therefore, ain't tameim chayivim ala mishum tamei. So then, the tameim that eat it are not going to be chayav for nechreta. Even though, again, they're not allowed to do it, but if they do it, they're not going to be chayav karet. But let's omer, yochol dachaku zavim v'nechnasud azarah b'pesach haba b'tumah yuhu chayavim. They push their way in to be there in the azarah. You think to be chayavim. Again, tumata guf going into the mikdash is problematic. Tamalomar. V'shalchu min ha'machaneh kol tzarua b'chozah b'chol tamei nefesh. Pasuk in Pashat Naso that talks about Shiluach HaMachaneh for the Tmeim. Over there it says there are three different Tmeim that are sent out. A Metzora, a Zav, and a Tamei Nefesh. They each go out at a different distance. Metzora goes out of three Machanot. A Zav goes out of two Machanot. Tamei Meh goes out of one Machaneh. So he says there's a correlation between them. B'zman Shmei Tmei Meitim Mishtachim, Zavinu Metzorim Mishtachim. When Tamei Meh is thrown out of his section, then the others will go to their sections. But here we have a breakdown in the hierarchy of being sent out. Ain't may meet him ishtachim. Here, the may meet him go into the Azarah because it's Pesach Ababe Tuma. Ain't Zavin Mitzarim ishtachim. Therefore, Zavin Mitzarim are not thrown out as well. Now, again, technically they should be outside. If they come in, they're not in violation because there's a breakdown in the hierarchy. By Rav Yosef, Dachuku Tmei Meitim Nichsu Lehechal BePesach Ababe Tuma Mau. If the Tmei Meitim who are now given permission, they have a dispensation to go into the Azarah because it's a Pesach Ababe Tuma. What happens if they go into the Hechal? The Hechal is an area that they're not permitted to go into. They're never permitted to go into it. But especially here, by Karim Pesach, there's no necessity for them to go in there. What happens if they go there anyway? When we say there's a breakdown of Tamei Meit being precluded from the Mikdash, does that mean it's broken down just for where he needs to go in the Azarah? Or does that mean the whole Mikdash loses its barriers in terms of Tumah? So that's the question of Rav Yosef. Since the Tumat Azarah, the restriction there is waived, so is it waived for the Hechal. What you need is necessary. That's the Azara. And that's Mutar. The Hechal, which is not needed, doesn't have the dispensation. So Amar Rav, we have two answers from Rav here. Amar Rav, Amar Karav, Yishalchu min ha-machaneh, afilu miktzat machaneh. They send him out of the machaneh means even from a portion of the machaneh. Because the Pasuk has two statements. So Vayishalchu, what's the addition of Vayishalchu min ha-machaneh? That teaches even a portion of the machaneh they have to remove from. So even though there's a breakdown on a portion of it, the other portion still retains its status of being Asur for them to enter. That's the first answer of Rava. The second answer is Ikadami. I'm a Rava. I'm a Krav. Yishalchum in a machaneh. El mechutz l'machaneh tishalchum. So again, the two parts of the pasuk here. Ko echad de karina and bay. El mechutz l'machaneh tishalchum, which means entirely out of the machaneh. Whenever you send people out of the machaneh entirely, then karina bay b'shalchum in a machaneh. Then there's obligation to throw them out. So again, here he says the opposite, which is there is no miksat. There's only a miksat when there's a hole. Only when the whole thing is asur do you send them out from all locations. If they're not, the whole thing's not done, then a whole thing does not require you to send them out. Then even a mikzah doesn't have a requirement to send them out. And therefore, if they entered into the Eichal, they would not be chayav in that case. What happens if Tmeim go ahead and they eat the Emurim of the Pesach? The Emurim of the Pesach belong on the Mizbeach. Now, generally, if you are Tmei, Tumat Aguf, and you eat the Emurim, you're in violation of two problems. One is that you're a Zar. You are a foreigner to this because it's supposed to go on the Mizbeach and you're eating it. In addition to that, you're eating them with Tumat Aguf. So you're in violation of two Isurim. Here, if they eat it, are they also in violation of Tumat Aguf? Or since Tumat Aguf is waived for Basar, it's also waived for the Emurim. Since there is no violation with regards to basar, there is no violation with regards to the imurim. The dispensation is to eat the korban of Pesach, not to just partake of anything you want. And therefore, my loy shtari, the imurim remain asurim because there's no reason for a dispensation there. Amar Rava, michte, tumat imurim heichait rabe. How do we know that eating imurim betumat aguf is chayav karet? Mitumat basar, dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk about tumat basar, sher lashem. So there it says, sher lashem, the Gemara says this, there are both at the imurim. So it's talking about achilat basar, and then it says, sher lashem, so that comes to include imurim. So it's basically an adjunct or a subset of achilat basar betumat aguf. So if that's the case, if tumat basar, which is the core of the source, falls apart, then the adjunct or this added mitzvah of emurim is also going to fall apart. Eichad itel tumat basar, itel tumat emurim. Eichad letel tumat basar, letel tumat emurim. You can't have emurim be in place when the basar, the core of what is the source for the halacha, falls apart. So if that's gone, so is the adjunct, which is emurim, is also gone. Vay Rabbi Zera, emurei pesach mitzrayim hechdak terino. Alright, so that's very nice about Pesach Dorot, we know it goes on the Mizbeach. The emurim from Pesach Mitzrayim, what exactly did they do with the emurim from Pesach Mitzrayim? Who says they didn't make them into a nice shawarma? But they stuck them on the spit, they roasted them, and they ate them. Meaning that there was no requirement that the imurim not be eaten, so they ate them, they enjoyed them. There were three mizbechot in Mitzrayim. Ala mashkof, vashtei mizuzot. On the lintel, and on the two doorposts. There was no other mizbeach there. There's no other mizbeach. There is no requirement to put the emurim on a mizbeach. And Ein Ochanami, Pesach Mitzrayim did not have a requirement of being placed on the mizbeach. The only mizbeach aspect of Pesach Mitzrayim is the dam, and the dam goes on the shtei mizuzot and the mashkov, and that was the hakrava, or the karmen of Pesach to Hashem, the part that went on the mizbeach, quote-unquote, but the emurim were not restricted in Pesach Mitzrayim, only in Pesach Dorot do they required, or they required to be put on the mizbeach. Okay, we'll stop over here.